that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning from the Radio Ranch, February 17th, 2018. The sun has just popped up over those that eastern mountain range on the eastern side of Laramie, and it's a beautiful morning here. Blue skies, little clouds, but a little brisk, little windy out there, but we welcome you here, and we'll bring the men on. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us from over. You guys got any wind over there in Nebraska this morning?
No, it's pretty still and sunny, and the sun's out, and the sky's blue.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's because we've got all the wind here. That's for sure. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I know it's a little windy down there in Colorado. It's been that way this last week. But it is wintertime. It's February. We welcome you, the remnant, for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open here in a bit. But we're going to go to Jason and open up with a word of prayer first.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this day, upon this show, Father. We ask you that you bless us and our hands and our labors that we do, Father, that you strengthen your people, that you wake your people up across this land, Father. We pray for your people to turn back to you and to seek you in your ways first and foremost, Father. Put you ahead in their lives, Father. We desire that, and we desire for people to fear you, to reverence you, Father, as they ought to. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for, as we've seen so many things happen this week, Father, we pray for those deeds that were done in darkness to be brought to light, and we ask that you do open them up, Father, and that you reveal them, Father, as we face another false flag event here in this country, Father, and we don't know exactly what is going on, Father. We ask that you give us discernment, give us wisdom, and give us knowledge, Father, as we try to discern to the best of our ability and crack the code on what has been done, Father. We pray, Father, that you just open our eyes to see the things that have been done, Father. We pray, Father, for you to protect our families, our wives, our children, Father, protect them from all the evil out there in this world. As Father, this world is a dark and evil place at times, Father, and we pray that as we walk through it, Father, that we can be a light into this dark world, and we pray that you strengthen us, but we pray for that protection for us as well, Father, that you keep that evil far from us, Father. Any of those that would cause one of our little ones to stumble, Father, we have go ahead and we call for that millstone to be tied around their neck and ask that you cast them into the sea and that you deal with them as you see fit, Father. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open this morning. The phone number, if you want to call in, if you have a comment or a question, want to be part of the program this morning, 307-745-5913 is the number, and the phone lines are set up for that this morning. And yes, Jason prayed, lots going on. Certainly the school shooting down in Florida this week, and that's you know, in just a few days that's moved out of the headlines. Maybe it did what it was supposed to do, and now there's other things coming up. But kind of figure that'll probably be a topic this morning. And boy, I can't make heads or tails of this mess with the Russian probe anymore. It's the FBI, the CIA, the Democrats, the Boy Scouts. Everybody's kind of dealing with were the Russians involved in the, let me get this right, the 2016 election, right? 2 years ago, and that still makes headlines. I think that just shows you what a mess, what a turmoil, how the house of cards that has been so much a big part of this government, this ungodly government that we've been under. I think it shows how they're the winds are blowing. They're blowing the cards over. The cards are falling, and things are changing. I think it. I know it's an answer to us continually praying the pistol prayer. Asking, praying to God continually, being like the widow before the unjust judge that continues to bring her case before him. And we have continued to bring our case before God to ask him to destroy the Baals and to stop the sorcery, and we are seeing that happening. And that is an encouraging thing. It doesn't mean the war is won or the war is over, but it's better. It is getting better, and the remnant are waking up. Tim, we were talking a little bit before, just what's kind of the word out of your neck of the woods? What are you hearing people saying, especially about this most recent event that's happened here in the country?
Well, mostly what I've been getting from a lot of people here is I was talking to some neighbors the other day, and of course everybody's just, I guess the right word is heartsick over the whole thing. No one likes to see children attacked, or even the thought of that is morally and mentally crippling. I mean, we don't put up with those kinds of things in regards to children. And when we see this go on, you get why, you know, I just don't understand. And actually, I'm surprised that people are as it's kind of like they're neutralized by it to some degree. They're like deer in headlights. They're not sure which way to jump or what to think. It's just a sad event for a lot of them. And so that kind of gets us to the point that we say, well, we need to get some clarity on this and try to understand what they've pulled as far as the powers that were. I don't call them the powers that be, because the power that be is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But when we look at those sort of things, one of the things that struck me really, and I actually did some pretty heavy duty digging right away, was they were talking on one of the main or lamestream media outlets. They were talking about 18 school shootings since the first of the year. And I was like, what? Somebody else said that to me, too, that I was visiting with. And so we started digging into that a little bit. And there have not been 18 school shootings since the first of the year. That's an out-and-out lie. So basically what they've done is they took every misfire or attack or anything else and added it up. I mean, if there were 18 school shootings since the first of the year, that'd be, what would it be, like 2.5 days between them?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, no. It's very misleading. And, you know, you start looking into that, and there's, so that's the first thing that they're really trying to make it much worse as far as a, what do you want to call it, social event or
yes,
anti-social event than it is. So, and I know Jason's got some pretty good stuff on that too, as far as what's gone on here with and it's interesting, was there not a Valentine's Day massacre in the past? I mean, that was mob related or something?
Several. More than one. There was, looking back, there was another shooting back in I want to say in the early 2000, you know, 2004, 2005, there was a Valentine's Day shooting. And then, yeah, there was a, what do you call it? I don't have my computer up in front of me, but the mob hit the Valentine's Day massacre.
That was a Chicago deal or something, or over that way. Yeah, so they've run into that.
Yeah, I think it's...
Yeah,
it was,
I mean, you know, it's sad when, you know, the sad thing is in this day and age when where we're at, is when you hear about something like this, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, this is a false flag event. You know, what are they doing? What is their agenda? And what's behind it?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you look at these last shootings. I mean, okay, and you start adding up the things that that they have, and you know, the similarities that they have. I mean, we had a Sandy Hook shooting, which we know that was they put out, and they showed that was going to happen before it happened. I mean, you know, you start looking at, you know, it was released on the news, the website was purchased you know, for a relief fund for the children at Sandy Hook before it happened. You look at, I mean, so many things that the information just came out and came out and came out. And I'll tell you what, there was so much information on that Sandy Hook shooting to show that was a fake false flag operation, that it was set
yes,
up from the beginning. And, you know, is what was sad is there was a lot of people out there that just didn't want to hear it. They just didn't want to hear it because they did not want to believe it. And I've had several people over that whole deal that tell me, you're right, I know you're right. Or you're probably right. I don't doubt anything that you're saying. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to believe it. And that's where they're at. You know, this thing right from the beginning, I mean, it had, you know, it had false flag smoke and mirrors written all over it. And, you know, everybody, oh, well, you know, they just want to talk about this shooting. Well, you start looking into it a little bit. You don't have to look very far. And to figure out that what they're telling you on the mainstream media is nothing like what happened.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, it reminds me,
really,
you know, in years past, our pastor would teach that, you know, whatever the mainstream media tells you, if you pretty much take the exact opposite, you will be closer to the truth than with what they tell you. And so, you know, I think a lot of that applies. There was a headline that came out, I think it was yesterday, maybe Thursday, you know, school shooter linked to white supremacist group. and that it was like a, it's like a, they throw that out there to see it's bait to see if it'll catch anything, you know, to see if Stormfront will come and deny it or claim him, or, you know, it's not facts, it's not truth, it's just, it's like fishing. You know, they throw this out there to see what they can catch. And and I think we have to continue to hold to the pastor's teachings on that when you see it in the mainstream media, if you just take the exact opposite, you're going to be closer to the truth. Then you start looking. Then you can kind of start seeing what, you know, what really happened.
Absolutely,
you know, but you know, there'll be a made for TV movie in a couple years, and that'll explain it all. That's the mentality of the people today. It really is.
Well, and like Jason was saying, there's so many signs of false flag there. I mean, they've got a lot of students stepping forward, and of course, they're interviewing some of these, and things come out. You know, one of the seniors and a teacher was talking about the fact that the Secret Service was there a few weeks prior and had changed the security protocols at the school and had went through it, and that seems like a really kind of a high up agency to have been there earlier than that. And the other thing that we seem to have is a reoccurring clue to these false flag events is the fact that generally, and almost always, I think I can say with some degree of certainty, that the shooter is on some kind of a antidepressant drug or a mind controlling drug, and we've seen that. And you know, the fact that there always seems to be a quote unquote live shooter drill that happened, and again, we had supposedly had live shooter drills there earlier in the day. I mean, when this first happened, I was actually listening to the radio when it first started, so I kind of got to hear some of the live stuff right from there as it came out. And one of the things that interested me was the fact that the normal police response time to an event like that in Parkland, it would be about 15 to 20 minutes, and they said that they had police there. I don't know which particular, it was a sheriff or what, but they had them there in 5 minutes, within 5 minutes of the call going out, because they were just on their way back from an active shooter drill at this school. So we have, and those two things always kind of seem to go.
Yeah, they had already evacuated that school that day and had them out on a drill, and the fire alarms had went off. Same protocol. The fire alarms went off. They took everybody out and sat everybody down and went through their active shooter drill. They end up back in their classes, and the eyewitness videos. I mean, some of the students that were there were talking about it, and they said, you know, when the fire alarms went off, they didn't have any idea. They're like, okay, what's this? You know, they wouldn't have two drills in one day. And you know, and the other thing is you look at the videos, eyewitness videos, you know, people that were there, and you know, that's one of the things that that is more telling than a lot of times is this video footage that people have on their cell phones that are right there on the spot than what you're going to get on the mass media news. You know, they really censor a lot of that stuff, and you know, there was people that were there that were showing this kid that was supposed to be doing all the shooting. They're talking with him, or yelling or arguing with him, and you can hear the shots coming from down the hall and from somewhere else in the building, and you hear the shots being rattled off, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. So you know, it's like, have they even come out and said, oh, anything about a second shooter? You know, I mean, it's that same whole deal again. I mean, we've seen this with we saw the same thing with Sandy Hook. We saw the same thing with the Aurora shooting in the movie theater.
Yes.
And you know, there's always that second shooter. There's always also one of the things that they have that's a coincidence or not a coincidence is that you know, they said 75% of these school shootings that, you know, or these mass shootings, they've all had a drill in that place for the exact scenario that goes down. I mean,
yeah,
you know, what's that tell you?
Yeah, it's like they're mapping out and desensitizing and preparing. You know, they get all their check everything out and get all their work done and get everything ready to go down the way that they, so that they can control it or script it for the way that they want it to, and then the Patsy issue is, and you know, maybe this kid did shoot some, maybe he didn't. From what I can see, like you said, there's interviews out there with him. I'm sure that this girl that was talking to him would have noticed if he had a rifle in his backpack. then you read conflicting stories that he'd been banned from campus for several weeks because of a fight with another student, but there he is and walking around on campus, and no one's surprised to see him. And it's these people, when they're on these psychiatric drugs, are very suggestible and very controllable. That's why they choose those for their patsies. They're in a cloud or a haze all the time, and so that's a given there, that they're able to control that part of it.
Well, they use a lot of that stuff. I mean, that goes right back in with my MK Ultra and mind control.
Exactly. Yeah. And we see one of the other articles I read that had come out, I think yesterday, was the fact that so far they really hadn't confirmed what he was using for weaponry. They were just sure it was an AR-15, but you know, no one's really found one. Supposedly he had one at home, where he was living, and it was stolen. But again, how hard is that to we're back to the same thing. We have a person there on a psychiatric drug, and they own that. It kind of reminds you of the Sandy Hook scenario all over again. We see that. And the other thing is, there's a lot of talk about what to do. And of course, gun control comes to the issue, comes to the forefront immediately. I mean, everybody wants to, well, not everybody, but a lot of the liberal non-thinkers want to immediately get rid of guns, when it's been proven that guns involved bring people down, bring crime down, and when you bring crime down that way, then there's less crime, duh. But when you really look at it, when you set those people up in a gun-free zone like that, it's just a target-rich environment. Does anybody ask why they go to those places? I mean, churches, schools.
When's the last time you heard of a mass shooting at a gun club or a gun show?
Exactly.
Or on a dove field, when there's 50 guys out there shooting doves. When's the last time you heard of somebody start shooting those people up? It doesn't happen. And it's just what you're saying, Tim. It's a target-rich environment, and the reason it always happens there is because it's part of the agenda. You hear the left-wing liberals screaming for gun control, using terms like, now finally can we have gun control? And it's like, we've done all this work. Can we finally get your guns? is the way that I saw it. And it was a representative from Florida. And it was, finally, now can we finally get your guns, kind of a thing. And it's their sorcery that's ceasing. Their house of cards is falling apart. The people are waking up to the spell and realizing that we've been in a spell, and the things that worked in the past just aren't working anymore for those spellcasters. Got an email from a brother, brother David. He says, the school shooting in Florida was right on the occult wolf festival requiring the shedding of blood. From February 13th through the 15th, the Romans celebrated Valentine's Day as the feast of Lupercalia, also known as the Wolf Festival, a fertility festival which requires animal sacrifice, and sends a link to it as well. And it's an occultish time. The basis of it, of this time of the year, it is. That's pretty interesting. Jason, I know you've always brought up, how important the dates are. The dates like April 19th and apparently Valentine's Day as well, and how they have impacted over history. Our people don't think a lot about that, but you look back over history, and apparently there might just be more to this February 14th than is in the common public knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's one of those things, you know. I mean, as you look in and you look at the evidence. I mean, you don't have to look very far to realize that what they're telling you isn't true. I'm not saying that we've got it figured out what exactly has happened, but you know, I can tell you it's not the way they said it is. You know, and it's the majority of the people that were there don't believe that there was one shooter. Don't understand why that they had went through the things that they'd went through. But it's, you know, I mean, regardless, it happened. I mean, you know, one of the things that came out after Sandy Hook is that there was a lot of those people that that were supposedly died in that shooting were never even from that county. So, I mean, you know, we don't know how far sometimes that they take this and how far that they'll, you know, that they'll go. But, you know, it's one of the things that we got to continue to, you know, pray for our family and pray to keep our families protected. And, you know, I seen a lot of stuff that popped up, you know, on different places lately. And it's like, you know, people that are, you know, saying, okay, why did God not save these children? And why was God not, you know, why would God allow this to happen? And then people are responding, well, you know, God was kicked out of the schools. God was kicked out of the schools. And it's like, you know, people want to support. There's a big craze right now at people supporting bringing back the Bible into the schools. You know, well, if we would have and their response is, if we had Christ in the schools, you know, this wouldn't happen. If we had Bible teaching in the schools, you know, number one, okay, yeah, I agree that, yeah, Bible should be taught in the schools. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it should be taught in the homes. You know, yes. We're going back to that thing of public education, you know, and sending your children off to slaughter and let them teach whatever they want. Well, they should be doing this. They should be doing that. No, God entrusted those children to the parents. You know,
amen.
And when he intended it, there is supposed to be a mother in the home and a father in the home. It's, you know, really quite simple. And, you know, granted, okay, yeah, that doesn't happen all the time. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not coming against that by any means at all. I mean, it's wrong, but, you know, that's the way God intended it. But, you know, when you can come out and you can blame everything that happened, oh, well, you know, this happened because Christ was taken out of the school. Okay, why didn't you have it in the home? You know, that's where it needs to be. And you go and, you know, turn your children over to public education and let them teach whatever that they want, or whatever the state decides, or whatever they federally decide to teach your children. When they want to teach your children, your six-year-old children, about being a homosexual and being transgenders, and, you know, I mean, all this crap, it's not a place for your children to be anyway.
No, it's not.
So,
that's right.
I mean, just, you know, keep that in mind. And, you know, I mean, there's reasons that, you know, that these places are hell holes, and there's a lot of demonic activity that takes place in these schools in this land. I mean, and it's, you know, they're programming children to go into the world to continue their agenda. I mean, it's and if you look at the curriculum that they're teaching in these schools, you know, most people would be appalled.
Yes. Yeah,
I
agree. That was one of the things I said. They keep talking about, well, how can we fix this? Well, we need threat assessments. Well, we need to get rid of guns. Well, we need to have military or police station. We need metal detectors. And it's like, vote with your feet, people. You can pour all the perfume on the pig you want, and it's still just a pig that smells better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the issue, you know. They want to blame someone else for that. And, Mike, I do feel sorrow for anybody who lost a child and anything like that, for real. I mean, it's like, wow. But,
oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, you don't put your child in the middle of the street to play and then blame the person who hit the child with the car, because the actual truth of the matter is, the person that was responsible for that accident or that travesty was you. Why would you put them out there? I mean, it's like you protect them. They do. We all know children don't, they trust who you trust. And when you send them off to that place, you're putting them in line to be manipulated, controlled, abused, or clear up to the point of sacrificed to some other god besides the God that you want. And if, you know, if the Bible doesn't say that the public school should teach them in the morning when they rise up and when they lay down about Christ. He didn't tell the public school to teach them to remember. No, he told us to do that.
That's right.
And, you know, it's one of those things that's our duty as parents. It's a sacred trust from God, you know, and and when you do that, you bear a huge amount of responsibility. As a matter of fact, in my mind's eye, you bear most of the responsibility because you committed that precious trust to something else that shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Well, and you know, one of the other arguments that they've used and that they're saying quite a bit is that, well, the FBI, they had tips and they were that they were investigating this Nicholas DeJesus Cruz, that he had been reported, and that they were the ones that that let the people down because they didn't follow through, and he should have been behind bars. Well, you know, I mean, and it's, there's a bunch of people that are coming out with that kind of stuff also. Well, you know, I don't buy that. Had there been a crime committed? You're talking, now you're saying that, okay, that he might have thought about it, and we should have went ahead and arrested him and thrown him in jail. And, you know, of course, you know, that's not right. I mean, they can come over and say that you think whatever you want. Oh, because you have an AR-15 and you have several guns that, you're a bad person. You know, you should be locked away. That's a bunch of hogwash also. You know, you start looking into that and it's like, okay, was there a crime committed? No, there was no crime committed. Why should you be able to throw this person in jail? When there's been no crime committed, there hasn't been anything done. It just the whole thing just stinks.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
You know, our pastor taught on that. He prophesied back in the day, several messages on thought crime, that very thing. And so our enemies are playing chess here. They're weaving a tapestry in the public minds. The FBI has been under fire anyway with, as I said earlier, this Russian probe and with the election from 2 years ago. And so here's another, it's like another being thrown to the wolves. How often does the FBI come out and say, we dropped the ball, we should have done this and thus, and we didn't, so it's our fault? Never. You never hear that kind of stuff. It's always that they did everything they were supposed to do, and you know, that they are just the best that there's ever been, and so you're seeing a difference there in where that blame is being laid. So there's something else going on. There's a, you know, they're setting up the queen, they're setting up the king, and to be protected, to get moved into position. They're playing chess in this whole manipulation, and that's really what it comes down to. And our enemies, as these things happen, as they cause these things to happen, it's not that it does just one thing. It of course brings terror in people's minds. It gives them a push for gun control, maybe they're pulling a coup at the FBI. And getting it up into people's minds so that whatever happens there, the public support will be there because the FBI dropped the ball down at Parkland School. It is a mess. And yeah, you're absolutely right. The filth that is in these public schools today, the majority of people have no idea. They have no idea. Reported going to talk about a little tomorrow, but reported Thursday night, this, you know, in Massachusetts, here's a principal, been married 39 years, and he just all of a sudden decides he's going to be transgender, and they're going to promote that to the children, and that Mr. Smith is still the same. He just may look different, but he's still the same caring individual inside. That's the kind of stuff that they are putting to these kindergartners, first, second, third, and fourth graders. And the parents, and the school board and the administration are just, they're glowing. They are so happy and excited for Mr. Smith that's now going to be called Shannon. It's just filth. It's filth that our collective, as far as our nation's children are being indoctrinated with. And it starts there, and it doesn't let up through their 12 years of school and into college and university as well. If God's not allowed at school, should our children be? I think that's really a question Christians need to ask themselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think what we're seeing with a lot of this stepped up confusion-making process, we know that Satan is the author of confusion. And, you know, I was thinking about the fact that we have the Russia probe going on, the FISA scandal. We have Uranium One still floating around out there. And how the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton server, goes into that. And all the way back to really what Benghazi, I mean, if you want to go that far back. But it's pretty obvious from the election, and that's where this is all stemming from, so that's why it's relevant, that they thought they had that in the bag with her, with their queen. And all of this stuff is coming back against those people. And, they've got to protect that. So these false flag events, they cover, it's their smoke grenade, you know, or their redirect,
right,
to take the focus off of that and cause resources and time and thought to go to all these other things. And I think that's what we see. I mean, they've tried so many different ones. If we think about it, they've tried North Korea. They've tried, several different. But they don't want to talk about those other items. You know, I mean, they try to deflect the Uranium One Russia probe back to, well, Trump was colluding with the Russians on the election, you know, and there's all these misdirects away from that
right,
really, that they really try to make happen there. And the more newsworthy it is, or the more noteworthy it is, as far as the false flag goes, the more it seems to happen. And I think that goes back to the shining the light of truth on these workers of iniquity, you know, and at the bottom of the line, and collateral damage to these people, to these evil people, it doesn't matter to them. I mean, we're talking about people who worship Moloch, who worship, you know, their children don't mean anything to them. They're sacrificial,
right?
You know, it's been around that long, and if it's your children that they're sacrificing, so much the better. I mean, but. They won't even stop at their own, so why would they stop at yours?
Right, and we have that in history, that we see that, that they would sacrifice their own. And so if they would sacrifice their own, you're right, they wouldn't think twice about sacrificing yours. Didn't Nero himself burn Rome? I mean, didn't he order it burned? And blame the Christians? You know, we forget our history. And we forget it, and we're doomed to repeat it. Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Wranglers, and the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a comment, you want to call in or have a question.
Yeah, or if anybody's run across any some more information, too, that... it's just, you know, this stuff is being hidden so much. I mean, between Google's doing their censoring and all this censorship that's gone on, it makes it really hard to find some stuff sometimes. So, if anybody is out there has got some good information on there that I'd like to share, you know, now's a good time to do it. So we appreciate that as well also.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
You know, this censorship. That's another thing that's got out of control. And it's amazing to me. It's how you can have a news article, you can have it pulled up, and you can find it, and you can type in a word, and you're pretty sure you got it right. And then it was interesting because the other day I printed an article, and it kind of piqued my interest, and it was on, I can't remember exactly what it was on, but I printed it out. And then I was telling somebody about it, and I went back and I tried to find it, and I tried to find it, and I tried to find it so I could email it to him, and I could not find it, couldn't find it. I typed in, I knew exactly what I typed in to find it, and it was gone. It wasn't there. And I'm like, I just was kind of pulling my hair out thinking, what did I type in different? How come it's not showing up? And I completely forgot that I had printed it, and I went over to the printer, and sure enough, I had printed it, and I pulled it out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there it was, and I took it back over to my office, and I sat down, and I started typing it in, and I could not get this thing to come up for the life of me. And I went all the way through and typed in the complete URL, and it still wouldn't. It was just completely banished. It was gone.
Yeah, well, the big companies, Google and Yahoo and those, have come out and said, they've come out and admitted that they have, censoring programs, censoring algorithms on there, to do that very thing. Something gets flagged, and regardless if it's a news article or it might be truth or it might be fact, it's that way with de Tocqueville. De Tocqueville was the French philosopher in the early 1800s. It came over and is attributed with the quote that, America was great because Americans were good. And he discovered that on, as he saw the churches here in this new country and heard the sermons that were being preached and saw how the people were living that way. And that's where that term came from. Well, you go look even Wikipedia and places. And it's not a reference anymore. It's to where it shows that yes, he did say this, and these writings are attributed to him. It's an alleged, it's attributed to instead of reference to, and it's history getting rewritten. We've seen that in our generation. I can't remember how many of the older remnant we've talked to that said they remembered growing up and hearing the Anglo-Israel message, being taught in their church, and it was just a regular church, but that the people understood that, and my, how that has changed today. The history books that are being taught in the university are different than the history books. They depict a different history, a different spin on it than back in the 80s when I was in school. They absolutely do, and it comes from this filth that's in the public education system and how they are taught, and now it's the teachers and the professors that have come up in these false teachings, and they don't know any better. They literally don't know. They have not been taught truth. Now, maybe they haven't had a love for the truth, but many of them have just, it's never been taught to them. They've never seen it. They've never heard it. Got a son that's in the local community college here, and we've agreed when the semester's over that his history teacher is going to be gifted a couple of books. And truth will be presented to her. Now, what she does with it, that's up to her. But the history that's being taught is totally secular, totally skewed, totally biased from the facts.
Well, and another thing that I've noticed, of course, read quite a bit, whether it's on, seems like read more online any more than even in books, although still read a lot of books and have a lot of books, is I'm amazed at how often words are spelled differently in some of the things I'm reading and talking about changing things and monitoring things. And at first I just assumed that people couldn't spell or you know, spell the whoever was editing it or proofing it couldn't read it correctly. But I've seen it go on more and more to the point that I think there's a more nefarious purpose there in that. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that changing the pronunciation through changing the spelling has changed people's perception of things. I mean, you know, it doesn't key into your memory as well. And we're told to remember. And when we change those words or the pronunciation of those words or the spelling, there's a lot of times you're reading along in an article and you kind of just skip over it, and it changes the impact of what you would get out of it otherwise, which is another form reshaping the memory or the world, I think.
Right. I think it's, you know, we had reading back, man, it's been probably 10th grade for me, which is, 1980, 81, but we had to read George Orwell's book, 1984, and that was part of it, was the dumbing down, the removing of words from society. And so you didn't have to have all these words to be able to talk. It was just work, you know, school, eat, work, obey, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it. You know, Common Core math. That's exactly what that was. A dumbing down. Guys, let's check the phone call here. Phone line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning, Joe. Lord. Good morning.
Hi. I did looking at an article here written by the Hub. It's John Hopkins University regarding iatrogenic deaths, and this article was published May 3rd, 2016, and according to their studies from this this place, more than 250,000 deaths per year are due to medical error in the U.S. You never hear about that.
Yeah, very, very rarely. But they admit it, don't they?
Yeah, well,
they just admit it.
Johns Hopkins University, that's where they teach doctors how
yeah.
to write prescriptions and read.
Yeah, journals. I guess that's why they call it practicing medicine, huh?
Yeah. Still can't get it right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you think about it. If I put a sign out in front of my my shop and said practicing being a mechanic, you know, bring your car in here and let me give you a discount brake job. I don't think I'd have very many customers.
Right.
Well. Yeah, lawyer.
Be patient with me. I'm still learning.
Yeah. Tim on his transmission shop, he could be like, yeah, we're practicing working on transmission. Bring it over and give us your money, and we'll practice on it. I mean, it's...
Warranty? You want warranty with that?
Yeah. And you know, how many times do we hear that?
Somewhere else.
How many times do we hear that from doctors? I can remember my parents that were just caught up in that and fighting high blood pressure. So they'd go and the doctor would say, well, okay, take this, whatever the pill is. Take one of these a day, and let's check you for in a couple days. So a couple days later, no better. Okay, take two a day, and then try that for a couple days, no better. Okay, take three a day. And I remember hearing this stuff thinking, huh? You know what?
On the amateur radio, you hear these guys in the mornings on 40 meters. They have numerous nets that I can pick up here from the east, from PA, and so many of these men are talking about, oh, I'm going to go down and get my booster shot or something like this. And there, someone else will come in on the net and say, "Yeah, I just got a shot for flu, and I came down with the flu."
Yeah.
They're admitting it.
Wow.
And it's there.
Yep.
It's for people to see, but they still, sheep.
Exactly. Thinking.
Get in line.
Thinking. And that's the thing. You know, Pastor always tried to promote that, was to get people to think. I remember what was it, Jason? They had a thinking problem. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Think, I'll just have another think. and if people would do that, would start thinking,
yeah,
like you were saying, Jason, start, you know, looking at the videos that you see, looking at mass media, you said that it was this at this shooting, but what about that shooting and that one 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 and that one? Start thinking about things instead of just that Budweiser's on sale this weekend and who's going to be the next quarterback for the Broncos. You know, start thinking.
I read an article online here. It wasn't a very recent one, but it was certainly within 3 or 4 years' time that you have more chance of choking to death on a piece of meat at supper than getting shot with a firearm in an act of aggression. That's not taking into account accidental shootings and, you know, misfires and indoor somebody cleaning their weapon and then accidentally going
right
off and they, you know, put a hole in their hand. They're not taking that into account. It's violence, you know. And
absolutely,
these inner city deaths that are caused by gangs and stuff like that's never touched on either. I mean, a drug related shooting at 2 in the morning in downtown Chicago isn't a mass shooting, but it's an ongoing thing.
Yes.
It never stops.
Yes.
And it seems to be cyclical.
Right. Yeah,
it continues on.
One of the things that interests me is some of the statistics of death, violent death in the United States. The number one instrument of violent death in the United States is, and you know, if you ask people that, they automatically, a gun, but it's a baseball bat. More than twice as many people are killed with baseball bats than are killed with handguns. So, you know, it's kind of, huh? So,
that is an amazing thing to think about. And I was perusing the Pennsylvania knife laws, believe it or not, and I was instructed, let's put it that way, by some black woman. She wasn't even in law enforcement. She was just standing there at the front of the courthouse. This was before metal detectors. You go in and you know, I had to go to the law library. So it's this black woman, and I emptied my pockets, and you're supposed to declare everything. And there was a folding knife, a jackknife, and she's telling me that, and she's holding the knife open, and she's got her fingers splayed, and she's measuring the length of the knife by the width of her palm, not including the thumb, right? And he says, well, that's legal, but not by much. And she goes and folds it back, and I get it back at the end of the session. So, but that is not a law, believe it or not. The finger width length of a knife blade has no bearing on it. It's the intent of the
sure
particular weapon.
Sure. Well,
and,
see, Joe, you
are certain types. There are certain types of edge weapons which are prohibited.
Right. And but Joe, you understand that. See, you understand
They're designed to be an offensive weapon.
Right. That you understand that there's a thing called intent. Yeah. But see, when you have the lower peoples, you have people that don't understand what intent is. Well, what do you mean intent? Well, he had it. And so, and again, I think that ties into what Tim was saying, the dumbing down of our people. The dumbing down. You know, I know a lot of people that carry, and they don't carry. It's not offensive weapons, but by golly, they're defensive weapons. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the intent. That's the intent. You know, I'm sorry, you take three more steps toward my family and you're going to cease to exist. I mean, that's the liberty that we are to have here, and that has been that is just not understood by so many that are out there, and it's not understood by the masses. It's just not. So. Joe.
And going back, you know, I mean, one of the things that you know, you're talking about these medical accidents that happen, you know, from doctors and stuff. I've seen it happen time and time again, and it's no joke and matter. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, we really try to stay away from doctors as much as we can, because they, you know, one of the ways that they screw up is they screw up with the prescription drugs. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, you can take this, and you can take that, and you can take this, and okay, if that doesn't work, then we'll put you on this. And, you know, as they don't tell you, is you combine a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and that's fatality right there. I mean, that'll kill you deader than can be in 2 seconds flat.
Right. Or get you, so they, addicted to it.
They just keep you drugged up, and they don't... you know, they don't ever cure anything. They don't ever address a problem. You know, they'll just throw something like this at you. But, you know, there's a reason that their malpractice insurance is their number one cost of doing business, is to keep their insurance current in case somebody sues them. You know, and then another thing that they do is they operate on you and they open you up. And, you know, this just recently, I had a friend of mine. They said she had colon cancer, and she'd been doing some stuff, and she was got to where she was supposed to. They gave her a year to live, you know, just over a year ago, and she went. She wasn't feeling good. Went back to the doctor and wanted to get checked out. And the doctor said, "Well, yeah, I told you that cancer was going to get to you in a year." And, you know, that's your problem. She's like, no, I don't think it's my colon. And they're like, oh, yeah, it is. I don't need to tell you. He's like, unless we operate and we put this port in and get you set up and start doing chemo, you know, we can extend your life out a year to a year and a half. And she said, well, that's what you told me. You told me I could have had a year over a year ago if we didn't do that. And he, you know, same thing. Anyway, they scared her. Wow. And they decided to go ahead and do the surgery. So they open her up, and, oh, you know, she doesn't have colon cancer. There's no colon cancer there at all. It's in her lungs. And it's like, okay, are you kidding me? I mean, and that's the way it works. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it happens on a regular basis that way.
Sure it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called a medical practice.
All right, well, I guess I'll be listening in here.
Thanks, Joe. We're wrapping up as well. There. Thanks, brother. Have a great weekend. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Tim, thank you so much. And, guys, thanks for the all the information. Man, I just tried to sit back and listen, soak it all up. Thanks so much, guys. And we thank you, The Remnant, for supporting us, for tuning in, and for being here with us this morning. We encourage you to join us at church tomorrow, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 8:30 in the morning. 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and we'll have a little change-up for you tomorrow. How about that? We'll just throw that out there. Little things be a little different. So we encourage you to come and join us and for fellowship, communion, some good Holy Spirit-inspired music, and of course, a timeless pulpit truth that will be more applicable today than the day it was preached. Guys, thanks again. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
When you feel like there's a sign there on your back, says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get that darkness, I've been down to my last match. Felt 100 different demons breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying?